Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Earlier late night than usual. Typically, as you all know, 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. That's the regular time slot. But my Max is out tonight, so we slide up on the schedule, which means also my regular Thursday night guest, he moves up as well. That is Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter. Give him a follow on Twitter at Matthew Collar. He joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. I appreciate you, Matthew, being on the show again, as always, weekly, but also just kind of, you know, moving up a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very exciting. I mean, except for I don't deal well with change. So, you know, if I botch this, entirely your fault. But it is weird not having Thursday night football, though. Like, I was sitting around thinking, like, oh, who's playing tonight? Because I never look who's playing Thursday night football, and then it's always the Jaguars and Titans or something. But, like, oh, that's right, there was Tuesday night football. So not only are you messing up my week, but the NFL has really thrown me for a loop.
But hold on. With all due respect, Matthew, and I love you like a brother, but you were the same guy that about a week or two ago was like, Lake, you're messing up my viewing of Major League Baseball postseason, and I had to remind you that the Twins were no longer playing, so I'm surprised that you're not the person angling to watch Rays and Astros.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping the Rays would just close it out and take care of business, and then I could not have to watch the Astros play, because it kind of makes me nauseous that they have gotten this far in the playoffs, considering
yes.
that they're the Astros, and they are, you know, garbage cheaters. But, you know, I mean, aside from that, thanks, you know, Twins, for all of your help taking care of that business. But, you know, it's just that I don't know about you, because I saw a big report on how TV, you know, sports viewing is down in a lot of areas. And I know that even for myself, and I watch pretty much nothing but sports, I will sometimes forget because of just how weird things are. All that, like, stuff is on. You know, like, I'm watching the game the other night, and I'm like, what stadium is that? What is going on here? Like, oh, they're in San Diego, huh? You know,
yeah.
Like, just, my whole brain has been warped by the way that sports has changed in so many ways.
Well, it's funny because that was a topic of mine yesterday when I filled in for Chad Hartman, because you have these individuals that I'll be, you know, upfront with you. I don't like Jason Whitlock. I'm not a fan of Clay Travis, any of those guys. They've been harping for the longest time about NBA ratings being down. It's the you know, the messages that they're sending about police brutality and social injustice and all. Like, everything across the board's down. Horse racing viewership, down. Hockey viewership, down. Baseball viewership, it's all down. And I just think that it has to do with, number one, people are stressed out and they can't look at sports on television to try to escape and get away from COVID-19. And you got all these people out of work, and these people are worried about where their next check is coming from. And they're, and, you know, people are just concerned about everything going on between the health and the economy and all of that stuff. So I think across the board, when you look and dive into it, it's not just the NBA, but all of the sports by and large are down. Now, I haven't seen lately the, what's going on with the National Football League in terms of ratings here early on in the year, but I know that across the board, whether it's been baseball, hockey, MLS, all of it's been down.
Yeah, and I think it's an accumulation of a lot of things. I mean, the guys that you mentioned, the Whitlocks and Clay Travises, those arguments aren't made in earnest anyway. I mean, that's some sort of weird trolley brand of nonsense that I don't know
yep.
why people buy into, but well, actually, I think I have an idea, but maybe that's a different discussion. But as far as the NFL, yeah, I think the ratings are down something like 13%. But as you mentioned, it's everything, and there are certain people who would love to tie it to social justice, but I don't remember the horses kneeling before the anthem. So, you know, I think it's, you know, one of the reasons might be that all sports are also on at the same time now. Like, not just, hey, baseball is competing with football, but, like, everything, basketball, baseball, hockey, football, all at the same time. And the other part of it, too, is that, you know, what do you do when a big sports contest is on? What do a lot of people do? They go and watch it with their friends. They go to a bar. They go to a restaurant and watch it. And, like, the that option just is really not on the table, or at least if you're still trying to be safe during COVID. So I think it's a probably a combination of a lot of different things. And there's also, you know what, I will tell you that it took me a while to watch the NBA playoffs because it just was so weird. Like watching them in this, you know, high school gym where it looks like an AAU tournament or something, it just got to be kind of strange. And then, you know, you mentioned it, there's a lot more important things going on in the world. There's political things to watch on those types of networks and stuff like that. Every day there's something new and crazier than the last day that is taking our attention, social media as well. So, yeah, I think that, you know, it is a combination of everything. And also, there's one thing that comes to mind for me, and it has been lately with this NFL season. It's like, how legit is this NFL season? Like, do we want to say that out loud, even though we're really happy to have an NFL season, so no one's happier than me, but when the Minnesota Vikings don't get to play in front of fans, and they have games being rescheduled with COVID all over the freaking map here, it's like, at some point, you look at this and go, this is unlike anything else, and I'm not even sure how legit this is.
Yeah, and just to kind of finish off the prior point, I think you've made a great point in regards talking about, like, with all of the sports going on at one time, like, that's clearly going to, you know, some people are going to have to make a decision on what they're going to watch, because you're not going to watch 15 different things at one time. So, of course, viewership may be a little bit down because – maybe Henry Lake is watching the NBA over, you know, the NHL on any given night, or over the WNBA, or whatever the case may be. I think that that's part of it too, but also, it's out of season. You know, most people aren't used to watching the NBA right now. People aren't used to watching, you know, MLS. They're used to watching the MLS soccer right now, but they're not used to watching the NHL a month ago. So all of that's kind of a weird dynamic that we're all kind of going through. All right, we're talking to Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. And the last point that you just mentioned that I want to start with in talking about the Vikings is the possibility that they might have to postpone this game based on the positive test with the Atlanta Falcons, their facility shut down earlier today. It sounds like it's going to get reopened tomorrow, but it's such a fluid situation. You just don't know. That's the thing about it, Matt. You never really know.
Yeah, and that's kind of speaks to my point. It's like the Titans, what they're doing is cute and stuff about them pretending this was some sort of adversity that the NFL laid on them as opposed to on themselves. But, you know, had the Titans lost to the Bills the other night and gotten killed, I think we would have been looking at it and saying, geez, I mean, that's a team that, like, couldn't really practice and couldn't be in their facility and all those things, and then had to go out and play a game. And, you know, the Vikings they ended up winning their game in Houston, but they had to shut down the facility for several days. And here's Atlanta having to shut down their facility. And, I mean, yeah, sure, these guys are NFL players, and they can most certainly do one day of Zoom calls and then get out there and run their offenses that they've been practicing for months now and figure it out on Sunday. But still, like, the more you have these postponements, the more you have facilities shutting down all the time, key players potentially like Cam Newton being out with, you know, COVID. I mean, that kind of, like, think about that. Like, how different is that game if Cam Newton is playing as opposed to Brian Hoyer / Jared Stidham, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's just, and I know that we can just pretend that, oh, it's just like a normal injury, but it really isn't. I mean, when we're testing players every day and any sign of this has to shut down a facility to give the proper amount of caution. I love the NFL's use of abundance of caution. It's like, no, it's just regular. But anyway, that's an aside. But, you know, you start to ask yourself, like, how fair are these games? I mean, if the Falcons can't practice and then they have a walkthrough on Saturday and then they have to come to U.S. Bank Stadium, how fair is this game that's being played? And, you know, it's probably a question that the NFL would rather ignore. I also wonder, and as I thought it was a little curious, that when Adam Schefter comes out with the report that they're shutting down their facility because of positive tests, that the NFL is very quick to jump out and say, no, it's not any players, nothing to see here, even though they did have a player test positive early in the week in Marlon Davidson, their defensive tackle. So, you know, it also has kind of opened itself up to being like the NFL is really controlling all of the information here. And, you know, it's not like we are privy to the tests and things like that. So I feel like I am ending up with all sorts of questions about how it's being handled, if it's being handled correctly, and if more information is going to be withheld from us because they don't want it to look like another incident like the Titans.
Yeah. And on top of that, Matt, you know, that's a great point that you bring up, because when the NFL does jump out there after the Schefter tweet and they try to scale it back, right? You know what it made me think about? The fact that they don't want this thing to get out of hand from a negative perception standpoint, the way that Dan Mullen had that situation with the Florida Gators. Like, think about that. He runs his mouth over the weekend about, I want 90,000 in the swamp. And then all of a sudden, dude, you got no game. Cause you got an outbreak with your program, right? So I think that the NFL is like, whoa, we gotta slow this down just a little bit. And it's funny because Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, right? He had made a comment. I want to say it was like a week and a half ago about, well, you gotta look at, you know, these positive tests like injuries, right? And it was funny because everybody started commenting. They're like, Pete, you're an idiot. It's not as though an ACL can spread in the facilities. It's not like a torn meniscus is going to just spread amongst the players. So, come on, man.
Right. Yeah, and a broken finger isn't going to harm your lungs for the rest of your life either. I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, there's long-term implications to this, too, for the human beings who are getting it. And now I fear that we look at these COVID cases and we just say, like, oh, well, you know, that means he's out and no big deal. And we already have enough of a problem as a society of looking at football players as if they're just chess pieces or warriors or whatever and not viewing them as human beings. I think the NFL has, you know, had a problem with that for a very long time. So, you know, treating it the same way here where a COVID outbreak is just adversity and puts a chip on our shoulder, like, that's really not the narrative I think you should be embracing as the Tennessee Titans or the NFL. I mean, I think it should be, hey, look what can happen when you don't wear your masks in your meetings, or look what can happen when, you know, you don't take the proper, you know, the precautions and protocols, is you can end up with an outbreak and put a lot of people at risk. And I think that the Titans should be extremely embarrassed and apologetic and held responsible for what they did to the Vikings. They knew they had that a couple of positive tests, and they basically hid the information, came to Minnesota, played the game, and then the next day they get all the positives back. Because this thing, you know, as soon as it gets in your lungs, the moment it gets in your lungs, you don't test positive all the time. So, you know, I know that we've all kind of become epidemiologists here recently, but, you know, I guess my concern is that, you know, we start looking at it that way and, like, people kind of get desensitized to, you know, how dangerous this can potentially be for these athletes. And we look at it more of just, oh, these postponements and things, those are just, hey, weird football is happening on a Tuesday. Yeah. This is awesome. So, like, let's not lose our perspective on this thing.
Yeah, we're talking to Matthew Kotler, Purple Insider podcast and newsletter here on Late Night News Talk, A3LWCCO. Turning our attention to the Atlanta Falcons. They fired their head coach, Dan Quinn, and they also fired their GM following their latest loss here over the last weekend. Should Viking fans be concerned about Atlanta being a team that's fired up, a team that now has something maybe a little bit more to play for because maybe they're embarrassed that their coach and their GM got fired? Do you fear the Atlanta Falcons at all?
Well, you know, I am very bad, as you found out on Fridays, at picking the games with the Vikings. Like, I can cover every single angle, but every time I'm asked to pick whether they're going to win or lose, I seem to screw it up and flown.
No, you've been doing fine.
So I don't know. So with this one, though, it's like a perfect storm of trap game. Although I'm not sure if you can have a trap game when you're 1-4, but it still feels that way. It still feels like, yeah, they've got that extra little boost that comes with firing a coach. It seems to happen all the time. When a coach gets fired, then, you know, everybody kind of, you know, hunkers down a little bit and focuses a little more, and the players get a little more desperate, like, hey, man, if they got rid of that guy, they could get rid of me, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think there's another element, maybe that, you know, they want to play for Raheem Morris and try to get him a job somewhere, because, you know, that's been an issue. I asked Andre Patterson about it today, of just, you know, black coaches not getting opportunities. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of reasons why Atlanta would want to play for Raheem Morris. So, you know, you have also a Vikings team that's coming off a really emotional loss where they got shredded, of course, on, you know, the Monday after Sunday Night Football. It was in the national TV audience. It was kind of their chance to save their season and turn things around, and they didn't come up with it. And this is sort of that classic Vikings loss where you go, oh, they, you know, they just played really close with the Seahawks. They should win this game. And then all of a sudden they fall apart. So, you know, I think that they have a better team than Atlanta, decidedly, but it's not like it's not like Atlanta has a bunch of bumps. Like, they've lost a bunch of close games too. Their fans are saying the same thing. Oh, we're better than our record. So yeah. I definitely think that this is one everyone has already written in as a W, and I'm not sure you can necessarily do that.
When you look at the Minnesota Vikings situation, Dalvin Cook and him getting injured last Sunday night, do you play Dalvin Cook if he's less than 100%? Because I made the commentary and gave the opinion yesterday that I just sit him out. I just wait till after the bye week. Give him a couple of weeks off. Alexander Mattison, I believe and trust in him and got faith in him. He's a very talented running back. What do you make of the situation?
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you on that, because when they tried to do the pitch count thing in 2018, that didn't work, and he just ended up being out longer. And the other point is that if he gets another significant injury that keeps him out longer than this, longer than one game, the team is going to look kind of ridiculous for paying them what they paid him. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a significant injury, but if it becomes a thing where it's week in and week out of, is Dalvin playing, and we go through this again, then I think that everyone's going to look around and say, you spent all this money on a guy that you knew was injured pretty often, and hey, look, he's injured again. And that, as soon as he comes up a little lame on that screen pass, I think everyone who didn't want to sign Dalvin went, see, look, I told you, this is why I didn't want to sign Dalvin. And we know how much of a difference maker he is, how talented he is. But, you know, I agree that precaution is probably the best way to go, because they do need to get the most out of him if they have any chance to really turn the season around. But I don't think for a single week that they need him to beat Atlanta.
Yeah. Who do you have this weekend in the game? I guess I'll reveal mine first and then let you give your take on it. I'm going with the Vikings. I just think that they're the better team, clearly, being at home. I do think it's going to be a game, though, and I think that Matt Ryan's going to play arguably his best game of the year, which what is that really, right? I think he's fired up. I think he's ticked off. The owner, Arthur Blank, is non-committal to him long-term, and so I think that the Falcons are going to try to step their game up, but I think that the Vikings pull this one out.
If I were the Falcons, I wouldn't be trying to set my game up if I'm Arthur Blank. I think I would be trying to trade Matt Ryan right now, or benching him and letting it play out to get Trevor Lawrence, but that's just me. I agree with you that Atlanta gives them a game play. If there were fans in the stands, that really changes all the algorithms for my brain. Is like, oh yeah, that big home field advantage that they don't have anymore. So yeah, it makes it a little harder to say the Vikings will blow out Atlanta because they're bad. And they do have a serious game wrecker in Grady Jarrett, who mauled them last year. But I also think that they have no talent on defense, and they really, really struggle there. And even if they're playing for their new coach hard, that the Vikings just have too much talent on the offensive side, even if Dalvin Cook isn't there. And hey, who would be surprised if we got another one of these 31-30 or 28-27 type of games? I think we are in for a harder game for the Vikings than maybe some people think, but that they come out at the end.
Yep. Give them a follow on Twitter. It's Matthew Collar, Purple Insider Podcast and Newsletter. Hey, Matt, I will talk to you tomorrow when we do our video stream thing on Fridays.
I'm already getting ready. I'm already doing my prep.
All right, talk to you then.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.